This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
We're supposed to have an understanding of how these difficulties help us grow spiritually. We never grow spiritually when everything in our life is just the way we want it to be. Well, have you been waiting on God for something to change in your life or for an answer to prayer? You know, we need to remember that patience is not just waiting, but it's how we act while we're waiting. And I have a few things to share with you about how to wait on God, and then I'll be back to answer some of your questions. My message this morning is called, I'm in a Hurry and God Is Not. Let's just talk for a minute about hurry. You know, I don't know about you, but I find myself hurrying everywhere I go. I mean, even like from room to room in my house. I hurry when I brush my teeth. It's like, and God is really working with me to just slow down, I'm even trying to practice in my house, just walk, you know, not like so slow it's ridiculous, but just walking slowly. You know, I have a book at home called God's Rhythm, and it encourages us to learn how to live inside God's rhythm. And I mean, if you really stop and think about it, can you imagine Jesus when he was here on earth and with the disciples saying, hurry up, guys, let's go. We got to get to the next town. Hurry, come on, let's go. Get with it. I mean, sure, that's funny. It's like, well, no, he wouldn't have done that. You know, why? Because he was in perfect peace all the time. And one of the reasons why we don't have peace is because we're just hurrying all the time. We're here trying to do this, but our mind's already over there. And you know, wherever your mind is, for all intent and purposes, that's where you're at. And you miss whatever's going on right now, in this moment. If we don't stay present in the present, then we lose whatever happened during that period of time. I mean, honestly, if you don't keep your mind on what I'm saying today, let's just say for 5 minutes you leave mentally and go somewhere else. Maybe you go to lunch, you know, or you're thinking about, well, maybe I'll slip out of here 5 minutes early so I can get to the food line and not have to wait. My goodness, we wouldn't want to wait. I must slip out early. So you're so busy thinking about what you're going to do. Come on. You're so busy thinking about what you're going to do that you don't realize what you are doing. And I think part of the reason why we don't enjoy life is because we don't realize that the greatest present that God has given us is the present. It's the moment that we have right now. And I mean, even scientifically, we're told that people's ability to focus is just terrible at this point. We've got phones ringing and this happening and that happening. And, you know, everybody's busy and everybody wants us to be busy with them. And we've got way too many things on our mind. And so the first thing that I noticed when I really started slowing down, and it's going to take a while. So if you want to pray for me, that's something you can pray for me about. The first thing that I noticed is a much greater awareness of the presence of God. And boy, I want that. More than anything, I want to be aware of his presence all day long, no matter what I'm doing. Maybe not every single moment we're busy doing other things, but just to very frequently be kind of drawn back to just an awareness that God is with me. You know, one of the best-selling books ever is a little book by a man named Brother Lawrence. And he talked about living and walking in the presence of God, where everything you do is for God and is done with God and by His strength and power and help. I read this and I think this is really just a great way to look at it. God is never more than one thought away. Isn't that good? So all you have to do is think about Him. Say a word. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. But when we're in a hurry all the time, rushing here and rushing there, we just lose sight of all that. How many of you totally agree that what I'm saying is accurate? And how many of you really would say, I really need to do something about the hurrying in my life? See? And so, you know, part of it is we just commit to way too many things, and then there's no way that we can possibly get them all done if we're not hurrying all the time. And so I'm in a hurry, and God is not. God doesn't hurry. So James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Yeah, boy, we can say hallelujah in here, but you get out there and it's going to be ouch. It doesn't say that it feels joyful. It says count it joy. And the reason we are to count it joy is because we're supposed to have an understanding of how these difficulties help us grow spiritually. We never grow spiritually when everything in our life is just the way we want it to be. I'm going to say that again. We don't grow spiritually. I mean, you can learn something, but you still don't really know it if it's just in your head and hasn't been worked into your life yet. The only way you ever know what you really believe is to have it put to the test. We can sing about trusting God and we can talk about trusting God, but not one of you really knows whether or not you trust God until something happens that makes absolutely no sense in your life, and you feel like it's very unjust and not right, and you can't get any answers from God, and you don't feel like He's anywhere in the neighborhood, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. That's when you find out if you really trust God. Amen. So that's why Paul tells us to count these things joy. We grow spiritually when we choose to do the right thing and behave in the right way when everything around us seems wrong. That's when we grow. And just to put it another way, we grow when we're being good and kind and loving to people who are hateful and mean to us. Oh, do we grow? Lord have mercy. Come on, don't pray these prayers. Oh, Lord, help me love the unlovely. Can't we sound spiritual when we pray? But can we apply it in our lives? If you're praying, God, help me love everybody, then you better get ready, because you're going to get some that aren't going to be too loving. I might as well tell you the truth. Count it all joy. Now see, that's the difference in studying and reading. If you just read that, that can sound nice. Count it all joy when you fall into trials and tribulations, knowing that they work patience, and in the end, it's all going to work out good. Well, we can read that and go right on and not even have a clue what it means or what it talks about unless we really slow down and think about what is this saying to me and for my life. Why should we count it joy? Because the Bible says it produces steadfastness. Well, I like the original Amplified Bible on this. It says it brings out patience. Well, I'll tell you what I found out. It brought a lot of stuff out of me before we ever got around to any patients. I'll tell you the truth. When you're born again, in the deepest part of your being, in the womb of your spirit, all that God is, His ability, all the fruit of the Spirit is planted in your spiritual womb as a seed. And as you water that seed and you work with the Holy Spirit, then those things are eventually supposed to fill not only our spirit, but get into our soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotion. You begin to think different. You begin to talk different. You begin to like different things. And then, and only then, can the world then see Jesus through us. So yes, patience is in there. But I had a flesh that had to die. Do you know what I mean when I say the flesh has to die? Yes. You all know, that's good. I'm glad. Now, I don't know if you just said yes or you really know, but for the flesh to die, it means that you're not going to get your way and you're going to be happy anyway. To die to self means that somebody is that has authority over you is going to tell you that you can't do something that you want to do. And we're going to see if you can submit to authority with a good attitude. The world we live in today is so rebellious. I mean, nobody wants to be told anything. You wouldn't even believe how we've had people behave even at these conferences, just by us telling them they can't do something. You can't sit in this section, it's reserved. Well, I'll sit where I want to. I'm like, and you're what are you here for? You're expecting to learn anything with that kind of an attitude? Anyway, I've gotten off the beaten track here. I'm still in James 1, and I got a whole message. Some of you know what I mean. I had a lot of stuff come out of me before we ever got around to the patients. And it wasn't pretty. James 5, 7 through 9 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." And by the way, patience is not waiting. Patience is how you act while you're waiting. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." And then it gives an example. Let's back up a minute. Be patient until the Lord comes back to get you. Not patient for 5 minutes, but patience until God is done with us here in the earth and He comes to bring us home. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rain." Now, if you just think about a farmer, and that's why he gives examples, so we'll think about them, so we have something practical to compare it to. And so he says, think about the farmer. First of all, he has to till up the ground, get it soft enough that it'll actually receive the seed. And then he has to plant the seed, and then he has to cover it up so he can't see what's going on with it. How many of you feel like God's covered things up in your life and you don't have a clue what's going on? Well, you're in a good place. You say, "Don't tell me that." Well, you are, because God knows what's going on. And He wants us, when we don't know, to be satisfied to know the one who does know. Well, we need to wait on God with a hopeful expectancy. While it's not easy, it can change our whole outlook. I know you have questions, so Ginger is here to to ask them, and I'm in prayer that I can answer them.
Well, I have questions from a whole lot of people who have been waiting on God in different circumstances, but let's start with one that's general that I think a lot of people can relate to. Kim from Frisco, Texas says, I've been praying and waiting for years for God to answer my prayers. So how do I remain trusting and faithful in the silence of unanswered prayer?
Well, you just do.
You just got to do it.
I mean, it comes down to a choice. You know, trusting God gives you peace and it releases joy in your life. And making yourself miserable over something you can't change anyway really doesn't make any sense. And nobody can answer why some people wait longer than others do, even for the same thing.
Right.
We just trust that God knows exactly what He's doing. And I would encourage her to not just look at the thing that she feels that God hasn't answered, but to encourage herself by looking at and remembering all the things that He has done for her.
Yeah. Because it is difficult when there's something that you continue to pray and pray and pray, not to get hopeless. But I love what you're saying, and it's the same with every situation in our life. It's to hold on to those things that are the reason for our hope,
right,
the things that we are seeing.
I prayed for my dad's salvation for probably 30 years before he finally gave his life to the Lord. And we had, you know, timing, we just have to leave in God's hands.
Yeah.
So.
All right. These are going to be hard because this is, a lot of these are people who are really hurting. And, you know, our heart goes out to the situations that they're in. This is Sandra. She says, I've been divorced for 5 years after being married for 24. I struggle with loneliness all the time. I want so much to have a partner in life again, but I also struggle with impatience. How can I deal with loneliness and try to be patient while I wait?
Well, I think that there's something that everybody and anybody can do about loneliness, and that is to go find something to do, you know, to go help somebody else, to, I don't know, be part of a team that visits nursing homes or be part of a team that goes to do prison ministry or something. And I understand loneliness. I've experienced that in my life. You know, I travel a lot. I'm by myself a lot. And because I travel a lot, I can't be involved in a lot of things that other people are involved in. But it's part of what God has called me to do. And I understand that she probably feels very lonely. And I don't mean this to just sound like, you know, some kind of cutesy little religious answer, but God is with her all the time. And the more she thinks about that, the more real it will become. One of our greatest problems is we think about what's wrong instead of what's right. Or we think about the problem all the time instead of the answer. And 5 years, yes, seems like a long time to wait, but it probably is very short compared to how long some people have waited. And if I were her, I would kind of leave it to God what it is she's waiting for. Sounds like she kind of has her mind made up. It's another man. And maybe God has something else He wants her to do. Sometimes, you know, we're determined to get what we want, but it's a lot better to say, God, what do You want?
Yeah. That's good. All right. Karen says, being still before the Lord on a constant basis is a challenge. I can relate to Karen. It is easier to trust God for things and issues out of my reach and control. The struggle I have is with those things and issues within my reach. Why is this such a struggle?
Oh, well, because of the flesh. I mean, I get it. It's like, but see, that's what meekness is. The Bible encourages us to be meek. And to be meek doesn't mean that you're weak or that you can't do something. The definition of meekness is strength under control. So it's one thing when you can't make something happen and you're waiting on God to do what only He can do. But it is a different level of temptation
when you could do something, but you know God doesn't want you to.
Yeah.
And so I relate because I'm a strong-willed, go get them, do it. You know, there's nothing more frustrating to me than having a problem with no answer. And so I get it, but you just have to trust that God is doing what he's doing for a reason.
Yeah.
And that test of not taking action when you could is very, very real. Just a quick example. I remember probably 35 years ago when I was just first beginning to travel and had some teachings on radio. A business guy came to me and basically said, if you'll sign with us, I can make you famous and it won't take very long at all. Well, I remember I was out in California and I remember laying across a bed and I knew God didn't want me to do that. I knew that. But boy, it was tempting to not have to wait on God and do it my way. But Abraham and Sarah made that mistake. Lots of people do. Yeah. I've made it since then. I went on television before God actually put me on, and that was a disaster. And so it's not that I don't understand, but I do know that it is part of the breaking of that flesh that needs to happen in our life. And I would venture to say that every person listening has to deal with that.
Oh, yeah. There have been so many times that I have learned the hard way that God's timing is so much better than my timing.
Right.
It's the only way that it works. Elizabeth has this question. I had a second miscarriage in less than a year. I've been praying and believing God to keep this baby safe and healthy, only to lose it the first day of my second trimester. I feel like I've lost faith and that God is ignoring my prayers.
Well, we don't understand things like that. I mean, I cannot tell her why this is happening. But on the other hand, I know women that it's happened to 4 and 5 and 6 times, and then they've had a healthy child. I miscarried the first time I was pregnant. My daughter did. My daughter-in-law did. And so it's not an uncommon thing, but that doesn't make the pain of it any less.
Right.
And so thank God that he comforts us. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And so I really encourage her to, instead of having so many questions and being so frustrated about it, the only thing that ever delivers me from frustration is trusting God. Just to say, I don't understand it. You know, when you know God could do something, I mean, it wouldn't even be anything hard for him, and he doesn't. I mean, you can't be left with anything other than trusting God. And who knows how God may use these experiences later on in her life.
Yeah.
And so I know sometimes we do these question and answer things. I probably say trust God all the time. But the bottom line is, if we just want to get real practical, that is the answer to every problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing that is difficult for me is, like you said, when you know that God could do something and didn't,
right,
is to understand. And then I get to the point where my ways are not his ways. I am not going to understand.
Right.
So is there a scripture or is there a key to trusting that you've held on to?
Well, the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him.
Yeah.
And he will direct your path. Psalm 37 is a go-to psalm for me because it talks about not fretting when it seems like evil is having its way, but the meek in the end will inherit the earth. And the meek are those who do wait on God and wait on his timing. And I mean, why is the question that will never stop being asked?
Yeah.
And it's the question that gets the fewest answers. I mean, if you think about it, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But God didn't answer him. And so after that, he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so he didn't get an answer. So what was he saying?
Here I am anyway.
Here I am. Your will be done.
Yeah.
So that's You know, there's a lot of hard things in life.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
No one person is the only one who goes through difficult things. I mean, there's all kinds of difficult things. And I wish when these questions came in that I could have an explicit answer for each one and say, oh, do A, B, C, and you'll get what you want. But I'm not ever going to have that answer. And so, but we can encourage.
Exactly.
We can encourage people to hang on. You know, quitting and giving up is just what the devil wants her to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what God wants her to do.
Yeah.
And the meek in the end will inherit the earth.
And that love and encouragement means a lot.
Right. It does.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't be surprised that you're going through stuff. God is growing you up. You may not thank God for it now, but someday you'll look back. I look back and I thank God now for some of the hardest experiences that I had in my life and some of the places where God put me that were just, I mean, like Christians doing things and treating people in ways that just were not right. And I didn't understand why I was there. And you know what? I didn't learn what to do. I learned what not to do. And sometimes the only way you learn not to mistreat other people is to be in a situation where you're being unfairly mistreated. Come on. And then you learn because you know what it feels like. You just don't know what I've had to go through to be able to help you today. I'm kidding. Well, not really, but. But I'm so glad now that I went through even my childhood. I can't even be sorry about that because it's all part of who I am today. Job waited. Ruth and Esther waited. I've waited. I'm waiting on some things now. How many of you are waiting on something? Okay, well, I can't do anything about the wait, but if you're really listening, I can help you enjoy life while you're waiting. That's the key. I can help you enjoy life while you're waiting. And boy, does that make the devil mad. John 10:10. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I came. I love that. That just messes up the devil's whole plan. I came. And we wouldn't even have to say anything else. I came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Why don't you make the devil mad and start enjoying your life? And I mean learning how to enjoy ordinary, everyday life. Just life. If we can just slow down enough to actually recognize the presence of God, and maybe some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, I don't know, but there is an actual presence of God that you can, I'm not going to say feel, but you can discern it, you can sense it. You know it in your heart. And God is with us all the time, but it's only when we slow down enough to recognize that, that we enjoy it. And when the Bible says, have joy in the Lord, there's a joy, a deep down spiritual something that comes to you, no matter how big your problems are, if you can spend time in the presence of God and you know that he's walking with you, it overrides everything else that's going on in your life because you just know that he's going to take care of it some way, somehow, someday when he's good and ready, he's going to take care of it. But we're all waiting on something, but we just can't get God to tell us when. How much longer, God? Am I going to have to put up with this? When are you going to change my husband?
I'm not talking about my husband. He's perfect. At least he thinks he is. Oh, yeah. You know what? Dave is a special guy. There's going to be a section in heaven that only he and God live in. I asked Dave, I just like to talk to people about this kind of stuff. It's like, I said, what is your greatest weakness? And he couldn't think of anything. What's with that? And it's not that he knows he has weaknesses, but Dave's just, he's got it all working for him. Part of it's his personality, but he's not the least bit insecure. He could not care less what people think of him. So when I say, what's your greatest weakness? The reason why he doesn't know is because he don't focus on them. He doesn't focus on them because he figures, well, God knows me and he knows what's right and he knows what's wrong and I'm trusting him to take care of things. Ooh, that's when life gets sweet. Now, if you ask me, what are your weaknesses? I could name them off. Because I've tried so hard to change. Come on, you get it? I've tried and tried. God, what do you want me to do? As if we think us doing something is going to change it all. And you know what the answer is? He wants us to believe him, to trust him, to wait on him with a good attitude. Yeah, but what does he want me to do? We can't get off of the doing. We're not human doings, we're human beings. Oh my gosh. Acts 1, 6 through 7. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Can you believe that? There's some things that you're just not supposed to know. Yoo-hoo, you don't have to know everything. Come on, tell somebody next to you, you don't have to know everything. Well, that don't take that long to say that. See how you are? I gave you just a little bit of liberty, and you all just got lost doing your own thing. Now I got to try to get you back. All right. Luke chapter 18. Verse 1, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me. Come on, I mean, I've told God, I am not going to shut up. And I'm going to keep at this until I see change. Let God know that you're not giving up. That's not being rude. And she kept coming to him saying, give me justice. And for a while he refused.
But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Yes. Come on, that's better than that. I mean, that's saying so much, because you know what he's saying? You just make sure that you stay in faith, that you keep believing and let me work. As long as you're believing, God is working. And I'll tell you what we need to be saying more of, and I've been doing this for a good number of years, and it's really, really helpful. When I'm waiting on something, and then I start to think about how long it's been, and you know, my mind starts to go negative, I say out loud, God is working. God is working, and it helps me. Because he is. You know, when you get a breakthrough, God didn't start just working on that a second before you got it. God's working in your life right now. He's heard your prayers. He's working in your situation. But especially when you've prayed prayers for other people, you have no control over how long it takes them to listen to God. Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 6. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. But remember, what is hope? It's a positive expectation that something good is going to happen to me. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is for when you don't see anything, when it doesn't feel good, when you have questions that you're not getting answers to. And faith is a matter of the heart. Faith can believe that God is working and that something good is going to happen when everything around them looks the exact opposite. Maybe we need to just cut loose and have some instruction for a few weeks on just getting back to simple faith. I believe God. I know it doesn't make any sense, but I believe God. I believe God's working. Something good is going to happen to me. This is going to change. Because I'm going to keep bothering God until he does something. Come on, I mean that, Luke 18, just look at the way that it's written, and the thing is about prayer, and it appears to me that God is telling us to bother him. Go ahead, just keep it up. He said, if an unjust judge finally gave that woman what she wanted, he didn't fear God, he didn't respect man, he was wicked and unjust, but just because she refused to shut up. Come on, did any of you women ever get your way with your husband just because you refused to shut up? Woo, I have. Come on now. Well, you get it. And he says, when I come back, will I find faith? I don't know, maybe some of you just needed to come today just to be reminded to stir your faith up again. And sure, you're tired, you're weary. You work hard and you've believed God, and you've been waiting what seems like forever for that kid to change, or for your finances to change, or for you to change, or whatever. But I'm here to tell you, I've been there, done that, still go through it in different seasons, at different times, and I am telling you, by the word of God and from my experience and the experience of many others that God is faithful. And I don't know how long you will have to wait, but I do know that God will come through. And I do know that you can enjoy your wait if you will just improve your attitude. You say, well, I can't help how I feel. Maybe not, but you can control your behavior. You know how I know you can? Because the Bible says we have self-control. Self-control means you can control yourself. In case you didn't get that. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe two things, that God is, and that he is the rewarder. Come on. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Come on, you got a blessing coming. God's working in your life. And you know what? The devil may come against you, and he may just have one fit after another, but he is not going to beat you and God working together as a team. It's just not going to happen. Come on, slow down enough to start. You know what? When you soak up enough of the presence of God, it makes you strong. The anointing on your life increases. You believe God. I honestly think that just slowing down can make a huge difference in all of our lives. Are you getting this? I want to make sure you're getting it. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hurrying. Don't even tell me, hurry up, Joyce, come on. I don't want to hear that anymore. So that means I got to quit telling Dave that, I guess. Come on, Dave, come on, we're going to be late. Dip, dip, dip. And then I say, you wouldn't be late if you're going to play golf. Oh, yeah, I'm still a little bit mouthy. I read a statement the other day that was just perfect for me. And this is what the statement said. I seriously need a speed bump between my brain and my mouth. How many of you need one of those too? And then my son's out at the mall the other night, and he sends me this note. Mom, I bought you a new shirt. And I just felt so warm and fuzzy. I thought, well, that's fine. And then he sends a picture of the shirt. And it's a black shirt with big white letters that says, if my mouth doesn't say it, my face will show it. Oh, yeah, my family thinks they're really funny. Lord, now what? What do I want to do now? You know, when we're waiting, we get tempted. We get a lot of temptation when we're waiting. And tempted to try to make something happen yourself. And that's probably the number one thing. Try to make something happen ourselves. Like Abraham and Sarah, they waited and they got tired of waiting, and so Sarah gets a bright idea and Abraham goes along with it. She decides if she's not getting pregnant, then she'll let Abraham have a second wife. And I mean, that's dumb from the get-go. Now, No, my man is mine. And don't you even look at him too long. Who gives their husband a second wife? Well, anyway, trying to make things happen yourself. Another thing is just giving up. How many times have you told God in your life, I'm giving up? Come on.
Oh, God, I just give up.
That's not going to make him feel sorry for you.
Well, I just give up.
Well, you'll get over it and get started again. While you're waiting, you're tempted to get angry at other people who aren't going through what you're going through. Jealous of people who just never seem to have any problems in life and everything just always seems to, you know, come up nice for you. You're sick all the time and your friend never even has had a cold for 7 years. And you love her with the love of the Lord, but she annoys the living daylights out of you. You're all getting that part, aren't you? Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. Well, she's getting tickled over that. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud. Now, let's get that. The patient in spirit is better than the proud. What does the proud do? The proud try to take things into their own hands and make something happen themselves. But the patient wait on God. James 1:4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking absolutely nothing. In life, there's always going to be things that you don't know. And if you want to have peace and enjoy your life, you have to give up all this trying to figure everything out. First of all, we are never going to figure God out. Because he does some stuff. I mean, I still don't get this one, and I've been reading it for years. When he spit on the ground and made little mud cakes out of the ground in his spittle and rubbed it on the blind man's eyes. Now, Jesus, that doesn't even sound nice. He spit on the ground. And then he told this blind man to go wash in some pool of water and he came back seeing. You know, sometimes God just does something very strange just to see if we'll trust him and go along with it. And that had to be about nothing other than Jesus just wanted to see if that man would trust him and go do what he told him to do. Come on, you might have missed your miracle, or I might have missed my miracle because I wouldn't humble myself to do something that seemed foolish that I didn't understand. Well, I'm trying to quit up here, but I'm just having fun. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So let me just remind you that God is working in your life. I'm telling you, if you have prayed a prayer in faith that is according to the will of God, God is working. Come on, I don't care how long you've been waiting. God is working. Come on, lift up your head. Lift up those hands that hang down. Get a smile on your face and say, God is working in my life.
God really is faithful, but sometimes it is easy to lose sight of that, especially while we're waiting. And whenever Joyce says that, I'm in a hurry, but God is not, it really rings true for me. That could be the name of my autobiography, but there's so much to learn while we wait. And that's why it's so important, as Joyce said, to remind ourselves that He hears our prayers, He hears your prayers, and He is working behind the scenes. So just like she said, continue to remind yourself, God is working in my life today. We have an offer that will help you take advantage of every day that God gives you. It's a book from Joyce called Seize the Day. And when you look at this opportunity that lies before us in this very day, the first question is sometimes, what do I even do with it? How do I do what God wants me to do today? I don't even know exactly what it is. Well, this book will help you to understand why today matters and how you can make it count, even if it's one of those hard waiting days when you're in a hurry and God is not. So we have the Seize the Day book by Joyce and a study guide that will walk you through it and help you to get deeper into the scriptures that she talks about in that book, and it will change your world. So get ready to seize the day.
Today we're offering two resources that'll encourage you to live every day to the fullest. In Joyce's book, Seize the Day, she shares biblical insights and personal stories that'll help you make the most of each moment. You'll learn how to plan wisely, live each day with purpose, and claim the good things God has in store for you. We're also offering a Seize the Day study guide. This workbook offers step-by-step strategies to help you live your life on purpose for God's purpose. These resources are available for your donation of $30 or more. Call us 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
They look sad and get downhearted, and then they look at you, make eye contact, and you smile, and they read that smile, and then they start smiling, and then the kids all run to you and they smile. When you really experience that, you're hooked.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.